All right. Okay.
You might need more of these. You might need more of those. All right, let's get started and get you out of here. Probably one of the most neglected areas among adults is this area right here. Don't hesitate to ask me questions if you want as we go through this. We're going to talk about wills and we'll get into the living trust, okay? First page. Stewardship is not just money, time, or talent. Stewardship is all of these and more. Stewardship is the very life God has given us, and someday we should be responsible and account of it all to Him. That's out of David Jeremiah's book on finance. How many of you listened to David Jeremiah? Okay, you know he was raised in Toledo, born and raised in Toledo. Did you know that?
No.
We were buddies growing up. We're 5 years old, sitting on the front pew. His dad's a pastor, James T. And I brought my cap gun to church. Took it out of my pocket to show it to him, and it went off. Back in those days, the caps were very smoky, a little spiral smoke. His dad looked down at me, and if looks could have killed, I'd have been deader than a doornail. He met with us in his study afterwards, scolded us, scared us to death, banned us to the balcony with our mothers. I spoke in Dave's church, and he said, I told the congregation that story. They just howled laughing. He calls me Jimmy, why did you tell them that story? I said, David, they need to know the real David Jeremiah. Two precious freedoms, right to accumulate an estate, right to give it away before and after you die. $250 million per week goes into probate court, and designated millions of dollars per year go to federal and state treasuries because people die without wills and without any heirs. 30% of adults have a will written correctly. I mean, 60 to 70% do not. Less than 10% of adults have done any serious estate planning. 11 of 12 women will be widows and will be widows for an average of 11 and a half years. Think about that one. Why spend 40 years acquiring, 10 years trying to conserve, but not 2 hours in what you're going to do with it when you pass away? Shake off any notion that you need to be rich for you need an estate plan. If you're like most Christians, tax considerations take a far back seat to the top priority of estate planning, taking care of your heirs and the Lord's work. What's at stake is perhaps best seen by conjuring up the mess you can leave behind if you procrastinate all the way to the grave and die without a will. Your state's rules of intestacy will provide a one-size-fits-all estate plan for you. That simply means if you haven't had a will prepared for your estate, the state of Ohio has one for you. And I will assure you, you do not want your state to pass according to the laws of the state of Ohio or California or any state for that matter. Contrast that to the almost unlimited flexibility that's yours if you write a comprehensive estate plan, including a will and living trust. You have the right to name the guardian of your choice. You can slice the pie however you choose. You want grandmother's hush to go to a favorite niece or home to your church? No problem if you have an estate plan. Page 2. Basic terminology, this is a will now. Testator, testatrix, a person who makes a will. Testator is a male, testatrix is a female. I'm surprised you're not using testaperson today. A will is a writing that provides for the distribution of property upon the death of the writer, but which confers no rights prior to that time, and I recommend you use an attorney. Attorneys understand the laws of your state, they understand the federal laws. You don't want to spend your lifetime accumulating an estate and mess up on this one and put it in the hands of a judge. You don't want to do that. Codicil is how you amend a will. If you have a will now and you want to change something, you don't cross something out and write above it. You could void the whole document. You write a legal amendment. It's called a codicil. It has to be witnessed and all of that. Community property, you do not live in a community property state. So you can eliminate that paragraph. Probate is the act by which a proper court accepts a will and declares that the instrument satisfies the statutory requirements as the will of the person who wrote it. Until a will is probated, it has no legal effect. Probate costs are approximately 5-8% of the estate. In Ohio, it's cheaper than that. In California, it's 5-8%. Executor, personal representative, the person who administers the estate of the decedent. When my wife and I had a will, I'm her personal representative, she's mine. I die, she takes care of the affairs. She dies, I take care of the affairs. We both die, our son was the alternate successor executor. Guardian, important issue here. Persons designated to care for minor children upon the death of parents. About 10 years ago, there was a court case in Connecticut. Two couples lived across the street from each other. One of the couples was the pastor of the church, pastor and his wife. Godly people, just like your pastor. A couple across the street were members of the church. They had a little daughter, a three-year-old girl. They had made a provision in their will that if something happens to them, the pastor's wife would be the guardians for the three-year-old. Mom and dad were killed in an accident. Lady on the block wrote a letter to social services complaining that the pastor and his wife were religious fanatics. Public welfare came in, took the little girl, and put her in a foster care. Pastor's wife took it to court and lost. Took it to appellate court and lost. Took it to the Connecticut Supreme Court and lost. They were advised to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a problem. Number one, you got to get on the docket. Number two, it would probably been years before it had been adjudicated. By that time, the little girl was probably a teenager. There's no court that would have taken her out of that home. The couple spent about $100,000 trying to get custody of the little girl. So the couple wrote an article. It appeared in World Magazine. This is their recommendation. You nominate guardians. You don't appoint them. A judge has final say. Always. A judge has final say. Favor relatives over third parties wherever possible. This is their recommendation. Obviously, the number one criteria is a godly home. If you don't have a godly home in your relatives, then you're going to have to step outside. That's the beauty of a church like this. You've got a lot of people who would be able to serve. Develop a relationship between a child and the person you've named. We told our kids, if something happens to mom and dad, your new mom and dad is going to be Uncle Don and Aunt Peg. That became an issue when we disciplined them. Name at least three potential guardians. A primary, alternate number one, alternate number two. Why? It would be very difficult for a judge to turn down all three. Very difficult. Number four, you can write a testimony in your will as to why you chose the guardians you chose. Family reasons, spiritual reasons, financial reasons. You're giving the judge all the information you would want him to have as though you're still here. Remember, you're gone. And now a judge is making a decision who's going to get those kids. Remember, he has final decision-making powers. Trustee is a person designated to administer money and property for another's benefit. Minors don't inherit money. Mom and dad die, and there's minors. It goes into a trust fund managed by a trustee until the kids become adults or the kids become an age that was laid out in the will at what time they can inherit. Some people say when they're 18. Some people say when they're 30. Some people say when they're 100. That's a joke. Tenancy in common. Tenancy by entirety and joint tenancy of the right of survivor is how you pass ownership outside the will. If you people went to your bank tomorrow and had them pull your signature cards, you and your spouse's names are probably on the signature cards with the little initials JTRS. That means joint tenancy with right of survivorship. That means if one dies, the survivor has immediate access and immediate ownership. Probably on the deeds of your property. If you pulled up the deed to your property, you'd probably have your name and your spouse's name on there with the initials JTRS, joint tenancy. You own it jointly with right of survivorship. The survivor has ownership. That's what that means. State tax is the everything tax. That's an excise tax levied on the transfer of a person's property by the federal government in excess of the unified credit. That's gone through major changes in recent years. Today, the unified credit is like $5.4 million. When I started this, it was $250,000, which means the first $5.4 million of your estate passes to your heirs tax-free. The next dollar is taxed at 37%. It can graduate up to 55%. That's not an issue for 99% of the families now. Okay? Inheritance tax is a state death tax. There's none in California. I think there's still one in Ohio. Page 3. What happens when you make your will? You exercise your right to decide how your property will be distributed. Divide your heirs in a way that you choose. You make sure that others won't distribute your property according to their whims or uninformed opinions or state law, like the state of Ohio. You keep your property from going to undeserving people. You can disinherit. I did a seminar in Idaho. The guy raised his hand. He said, I just disinherited my son. I said, why? He said, he walked away from the Lord. I said, I got a question for you. What happens if his heart gets right at your funeral? He didn't have an answer to that one. That's tough. Number 5, you use a channel, a written motive to remit charitable requests. People, by the grace of God, we have what we have. Don't forget the Lord's work in your estate planning. Start with your local church. Always start with your local church. Get rid of debt. Put it in a restricted fund for scholarships for kids. Put it in a missions fund to help missionaries. Don't forget the Lord's work. Hey, listen. I'm a John MacArthur guy. I'm a Dave Jeremiah guy. I know them well. You get sick, you won't get a visit from Dave Jeremiah or John MacArthur. Paul will visit you. Ed will visit you. It's this church. All right? You're very quiet. Atta girl. All right. Number 6, you provide guardians for your children if they're minors under the age of 18. Number 7, you avoid misunderstandings among your heirs. I know of biological brothers and sisters today who don't speak because of the way mom and dad's antiques and heirlooms were divided up at death. You say, oh, my kids would never. Are you kidding me? I witnessed a fist fight in a funeral home. Two brothers are fighting over dad's gun collection and he's laying in the casket. We had to take him outside, break it up. Number 8, you have the final word then in fulfilling your goal as a good provider, a good citizen, a good steward of your property. What happens if you don't have a will? You die intestate. We talked about that. State of Ohio steps in. If you have a will now, check to see, has there been a change in your marital status? Second marriages are always complex. Barry, you got 2 separate families. That takes some good counsel and some prayerful thought. Has there been a change in your health status? If you've been diagnosed with something, make sure your estate planning is in order. You know, I counseled a situation a few months ago. Guy died of cancer. 6 months before he died, he canceled all his life insurance. The surviving widow thought she had life insurance. She had none. Pretty sad. Number 3, have you moved to another state since making your will? Wills are a state-by-state issue. Different state laws apply differently to wills in that state. So if you had a will drafted in Michigan, good place to draft a will, and you move to Ohio, you want to have it checked to make sure it meets Ohio standards. Yes?
What happens if you're in a different country?
If you're a different country, that requires some real counsel. Are you a citizen of this country?
Yes.
You're a citizen. Okay, then you'll be fine. But if the problem is when you got a marriage and one's a citizen and one is not, that gets very complex. Yeah, there are laws that prevent the non-citizen taking money out of the country due to a death. So, but you're okay if you're so. Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Is he a citizen?
He's a citizen.
Then you're fine. Then you're fine. All right. Number 4, are your beneficiaries still living, still worthy? I'm doing a seminar, I forget where it was, Washington, and there was a widower, and he had 2 apartment houses and 2 sons, and his estate planning said, when I die, my one son gets 1 apartment complex, the other one gets the other one. He sold the 1 apartment complex and forgot to amend his estate planning. Number 5, you want to keep the same executor, guardian, or trustee. Number 6, do you still own the specific properties that might have been mentioned, like this guy? Is your family secure enough to permit you to switch some bequests from them to charitable organizations? My son-in-law is a physician. My son's a CPA. We've told our kids, as you guys get on financially, we're probably going to leave more to the Lord's work and less to you. They won't come to my seminars anymore. They think they're getting their legs cut off. Number 8, you may need to review then your will or trust with your attorney. Folks, my wife and I review our estate planning about every other year during the holidays, during the bowl games. You know, watching Michigan get beat, so we look at the estate planning. And usually, you know, once every 6 or 7 years, we need to make some kind of a change. This page four is important. What to do in the case of the death of your spouse. I'm doing a seminar in Montana. And they asked me to stay an extra day to meet with two ladies that just become widows. They didn't know what to do. So I stayed an extra day, went home Tuesday night, sat down at the dining room table. This was probably 40 years ago. Said to my wife, would you know exactly what to do if something happened to me? So we got all our documents together applied to our marriage. Started with our marriage license, deed to the house, titles to the cars, pension plan documents, all that stuff. Life insurance policies, put it in a pile. Put a rubber band around it. Took a piece of 8.5 by 14 yellow pad paper and answered all these questions. Now I would add passwords to this. Put your passwords on this list. We answered all these questions, wrapped the questions around the documents, put them in our safety deposit box. If I fell over dead with a heart attack, my wife goes to the safety deposit box, gets out the documents, laid them down on a dining room table, after she grieves, of course. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Just while she's planning the cruise. Oh, she rolls her eyes. She knows where everything is at. She knows exactly what she has to do. Sometimes my wife and I, my son is a successor trustee to our trust. He's on the signature card of the safe deposit box. My wife and I got killed this afternoon going back to Springfield. My son immediately is in charge of the trust. He goes to the safe deposit box. He gets up the documents. He knows where everything is at. He knows exactly what he has to do. Every one of you should do that. Every one of you should do that. Go through this list. Look at the bottom. Too often, a lot of time and money could be spared if the departed spouse could return for 20 minutes and answer a few simple questions. How true. I could write a book. I could write a volume of books, folks, what's happened in my years. Page 5. My wife and I were concerned a number of years ago about the cost of probate and the delay of probate. Probate typically takes 9 months, sometimes longer, to get through the probate court. While an estate is being probated, it's under the control of the probate court. The government is involved. I wanted the government out of our life. I wanted to simplify it and save all those fees. So we put together a living trust. It's called the Rickard Family Trust. My wife and I are co-trustees of the trust. Something happens to me, she's the survivor trustee. Nothing changes. Something happens to her, I am. Something has my wife and I, my son, a successor trustee. As long as my wife or I are alive, we can change the trust any way we want. The minute the second death occurs, the trust is cast in concrete. My son cannot change the trust. All he can do is carry out our wishes in the trust. Let me explain it to you this way. If you die with a will, the ownership of your estate passes under probate law to your heirs. If you have a living trust and you die, your assets pass to your heirs under contract law. My wife and I have written a legal binding contract honored by all 50 states. It's not a state-by-state issue. It is a federal issue. If you live in Ohio and you're a snowbird and you live in Florida in the winter and you have a house in Florida and you have a house in Ohio and you die with a will, you got probate in Ohio, you got probate in Florida, you got an attorney in Ohio, you got an attorney in Florida. If you have a living trust and you quit claim deed those two homes into your living trust and you die, those two homes pass to your heirs under contract law. There's no attorney. There's no probate. You've got the government out of your life. Why in the world wouldn't somebody want to do that? Pretty basic. Advantages of a revocable living trust. Look at this. It bypasses probate. Now you have to fund the trust. When I had my life insurance, the beneficiary of my life insurance was not my wife. It was the Rickard Family Trust. Why is that? I die. My wife takes the life insurance and puts it in her checking account. Then she dies. You're back to probate. Where if the living trust inherits, is the benefactor from my life insurance, I die, the life insurance is in the trust. She's a survivor trustee. She has access to it, even though it was like it was in her name. If she dies, it passes by contract to the heirs, by the trust. So the beneficiary of our life insurance was the Rickard Family Trust. My wife and I don't own our home in California. It's owned by the Rickard Family Trust. Okay? Yeah. No, you don't put vehicles in a trust. No, you can go down to DMV and with a death certificate, transfer ownership immediately. That's not an issue. Only if it's an antique. If it's an antique car, that would be different. Yeah.
So a living trust can replace a will?
Pardon? Yes. Yes. A living trust would... Yeah, get it now. When you do a living trust, you also do a pour-over will. P-O-U-R. The pour-over will is a protection mechanism in case you forgot to do something in the trust. Guardianship cannot be handled through the trust because an attorney or a judge has to be involved. So if you had minor children, that would be dealt with through the pour-over will. Okay? Yeah, that's how that works. So letter A, your estate bypasses probate. Letter B, there will be minimal or no attorney fees at death. The attorney fees are when you had the trust prepared. Letter C, distribution can take place immediately. My wife and I are killed this afternoon. My son goes to safety deposit box. Tomorrow he can begin distributing assets to him and his sister and our foundation. He just has to make sure all the bills are paid because he's a trustee. Letter D, you can revoke it or change it at any time as long as one of the two of us is alive. It's changeable. It's revocable. It is a revocable family trust. Letter E, it's confidential. Did you know wills are a matter of public record? One of you died this week. Any one of us go down to county courthouse and get a copy of your will if you had a will? Because it's a matter of public record. Not so a trust. A trust is confidential to the heirs and the trustees. Nobody has access to it.
Does it have to be at all registered?
Pardon? No. 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 Letter F, it's more difficult to successfully contest a trust over a will. Because it's a contract. It's a contract.
So, but to the point, though, is look, in the case of a will and probate, then there is somebody who is now formally going through that and making sure it's good. Does an attorney have to have a copy of a living trust and will?
Well, there's going to be an attorney prepared the trust. He will keep a copy for his files.
Right. I mean,
but it's not required. It's under the control of the trustee.
But that's just a person, right?
Who's yeah.
Thing,
right.
Go to the bank.
Who is he accountable to? The heirs.
Good question.
Yeah.
Who would know if nobody else has a copy?
Well, they can request a copy.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. They can ask the question, are we a beneficiary of the trust? If they are, they can say, that I want a copy of the trust. Now, sometimes you get family members that get a little obstinate, but you can take it to a judge or an attorney and get copies of that trustee if they're part of the beneficiary list.
And you expect all institutions that were interacting with that to want a copy as well, so they will be verified.
They will at some point. Yes. 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 Yeah. But it's under the control of that trustee. He has a lot of power. My successor of trustees. My wife is first successor. Both of us are killed, it's my son. Then it's my daughter. Then it's my son in law. We got a succession in case something happens to my wife and I and my son all at the same time. So you want a succession. You don't want a judge appointing a trustee. You want you to appoint the trustee. You do a succession in the trust. It's listed that way. I'm the trustee of a lady in Oklahoma. Her husband was part of our foundation for years and years and years. He was on the board of the Master's College Seminary. He passed away. She's got all kinds of stuff. She's got seven hutches. And I'm the trustee. I meet with her. I say, Monty, you've got to prepare a list for me. She's no kids. All her relatives are either Creek, Choctaw, Chickasaw, Seminole, or Cherokee. And I said, Monty, you got to make a list for me. Who gets what? if you die and one of your nephews comes to me and says, Aunt Money promised me that hutch loaded with silver, I can't give it to him. Unless it's on a list that you provided and signed and had witnessed. Monty, you got to take care of that. I don't want to get scalped, Monty. Come on. She laughs. So we're working on it. Been working on it for what? 10 years? I think he's got 3 things on the list. She'll never do it. So I told her, if you die without the list, it'll be an auction. I don't have a choice. I won't have a choice. Disadvantages of revocable living trust. All property you wish to be distributed to the trust must be put into the trust. You have to fund the trust. You don't put pension plans in a trust. Pension plans pass by beneficiary. Okay? If you put a pension plan in a trust, IRS will take the percentage that you cashed in the pension plan, and you'll pay tax on that pension plan. Pension plans don't go in a trust. Let me tell you something else. Let's say your estate's worth $600,000. And let's say $200,000 of it is your retirement plan. Retirement plans are tax deferred. They're not tax exempt. Somebody's going to eventually pay tax on a retirement plan. If I have a retirement plan and Joan and I die and my kids inherit the retirement plan, my kids pay tax on that retirement plan as they take the money out. So let's say you got $200,000 in a retirement plan. And you got $400,000 in other assets, some cash, maybe the value of a home, whatever. Maybe some life insurance, whatever. And you want to give $200,000 to the Lord's work. What $200,000 would you give to the Lord's work? The retirement plan. Why? Nonprofits don't pay tax. So if you left your retirement plan to your church, there's no tax. And leave the other $400,000 to your heirs, because there's no tax. So there was no tax on the passing of your estate to your heirs. That's why people need counseling on, because they don't think about this stuff. Letter B, the trust must be maintained over your lifetime. You have to remember, if you buy a home, you buy it in the name of the trust. If you buy a life insurance policy, you make the beneficiary the living trust. You what now?
You can change that too.
Yeah, sure. Oh, it takes a quick claim deed. Sure. Absolutely. Letter C, it's more expensive to create a trust than it does a will. I would say you're talking, you need to shop the market a little bit. I imagine there's somebody here that knows somebody, that an attorney that does estate planning work. You want a Christian if you can find one, but sometimes you can't. I would say $1,200 to $2,000 for a living trust. Guys, you save probate fees on the end. It's a no-brainer. Page 6. Powers of attorney. Look, the third one and fourth one. Can this table support me? My knees are giving out. I'm getting old, I guess. There you go. Hope it doesn't collapse. Healthcare power, durable power in the HIPAA agreement. My dad died of a heart attack in 1986. 1985, I'm visiting, and he said, Jim, I don't want to be on life support. Please don't leave me on life support. So he gave me his health care power of attorney. Dad was in a hospital. I was called in, and he was brain dead. 2 cardiologists acknowledged that. I met with my brother, my sister, and my mother, and said, let's take him off life support. So we did. 5 years later, my mother's diagnosed with dementia. She's living in Cedarville. My brother called me and told me, Mom's been diagnosed with dementia. I said, okay, she's still competent, yes. Don, go down and get her durable power of attorney. So he did. Mom signed it. My brother transacted business for my mother until she died. Okay? Now you got the HIPAA agreement. That's the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. When it played in 2007, I explained it to you this morning. If something happens to you, the only way your family can get access to your health condition is with a signed HIPAA agreement. So my wife has my HIPAA agreement, her HIPAA agreement. I have hers. The kids all have my wife and I's. Something happens, that kids can get access to our condition, either by emailing the HIPAA agreement to the doctor or the hospital or whatever.
Are those online?
Pardon?
Available online.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as they can get it, get to it. Yeah. You know, now if you go to the hospital for surgery, you're going to have to sign a HIPAA agreement. Most hospitals require that. That's a law. Now, not all of them follow it, but they're liable if they don't follow it. They are not supposed to give out your health condition to anybody unless they have your signed HIPAA agreement. That's the law of the land.
So you could set one up just by getting a form?
Yeah, there's a form called HIPPA. HIPAA. Go on your computer, just put in HIPAA agreement, and you'll see the form. Just print it out, fill it out, and put it. Give it to your kids, give it to your spouse, do one for yourself. Yeah, make sure they have it. That gives them access to your health condition approved by you and your spouse. Yes?
If you execute one of those, you can just keep that in file and pass it out to...
Yeah, just make copies and pass it out to the ones that you want access. But you have to put their name on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It appoints a healthcare agent. It gives specific instructions. And it must be signed by two witnesses. Yeah. It's either signed by two witnesses or a notary.
The witnesses, they can't be relatives, right?
Yes. Two independent witnesses. Yes. Yeah. Or it can be done by a notary. Yeah. Okay. Questions for me? Now, everything we're talking about is on that second CD. It's on that second CD. And you're welcome to reproduce it. I don't care. You what now? Yes, sir.
What would be the relationship between property that is mortgaged and quick claim deeds?
Nothing. The mortgage stays with the property.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember, the mortgage is to the property. You may have guaranteed it, but the mortgage is to the property. The property is the collateral.
Okay.
And that stays a collateral no matter where the property is titled.
You could quick claim it with a mortgage
on it. Yes. Yes. Yes.
If you quick claimed it to an LLC, you couldn't sell the LLC with a mortgage on the property.
Well, you'd have to deal with that. You'd have to negotiate that. Probably with the lender. Yeah.
So if you had an annuity with money in it, then you had your children as beneficiaries without a trust, okay, it would still go through probate?
No, it'd be passed by beneficiary.
Okay. So
yeah, things that pass by beneficiary circumvent probate.
Okay.
What now?
Okay. So what is the list of things that would pass by?
Life insurance, pension plans, annuities. Your kids? No, not your kids. Well, this is being recorded, isn't it? I have to be careful with my humor. Life insurance passes by beneficiary. But your beneficiary, you want the beneficiary to be the trust. Because if you're the beneficiary of his life insurance, and you get the money, and then he's died, then you got the money in your checking account, and you die, how do you get that money into the trust? Probate. How do you get the money to your heirs? Probate. Well, it's a living trust. It passes by contract because it's in the living trust. So you want his life insurance beneficiary to be the living trust. Then there's no probate. You're taking the government out of your life. That's important. Okay, that makes sense? You're all very bashful.
So what? The flip side of that. So what type of assets would not pass by beneficiary?
Collections, your house, your CDs, anything of value.
So
piece of land. Yeah. Piece of land. Yeah. But then some of the things that would pass by beneficiary, you want the beneficiary to be the trust. You can't put retirement plans in a trust. You can't do that. Retirement plans don't pass until someone passes away.
Neither 401k nor pension.
No, that's a pension.
Unless, of course, unless you had a pension where they provided a lump sum payment.
then move that money into the trust.
Then it'd be taxed the minute you move it into the trust. I don't think you want to do that. See, your trust is your alter ego. The IRS is going to take the position you redeemed it. They'll nail you. If you're under 59.5, you'll pay the 10% penalty plus income tax. Did you know that like 55% of people who roll their IRAs spend it? They pay the 10% penalty plus income tax. They give about 50% of it to the government. Unbelievable. I'll tell you, I'm sometimes stunned by the counsel that's out there. He told you what? What should I do? Get a 357 Magnum and go hunting. I'm being recorded, aren't I? Unbelievable stuff.
So you think overall the better way is to have a trust?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there's some attorneys that would counsel not having a trust because they want to be involved in a probate process. That's where they make a lot of their fees. But see, the trust, a living trust, takes the attorney out of the picture, takes the government out of the picture. It's a contract between you and your heirs.
You just have to know which things to have, and you just put it all in the trust.
All that doesn't pass the beneficiary.
And you're saying you have to put your house in the trust and all that.
Yeah.
So you talked about changes to the trust. That involves going back to the lawyer and updating and amending the contract. Right?
The only time you would probably amend a trust is if you want to change the percentage of distribution. We're a third, a third, a third. A third to my son, a third to my daughter, or our daughter, and a third to the foundation. Well, suppose we want to change it. 50% to the foundation, 25% to the son and daughter. We'd have to get it amended. And I'd want the attorney to do that. $50, you know.
But not $1,200
to $2,000. No. That's just to prepare the contract from scratch. Yeah. And you know what? You know, some of you in here have a very simple estate. Now, all you have is minor children. You can go to LegalZoom.com and for $69.95 buy a will kit and take care of the guardianship issue. Some of you are very, very simple. If you have an estate of over $100,000, you probably want to consider a living trust. That's what I would do. And Paul and Ed, you probably know of where you could find an attorney that you could refer to people to. You want to find out. You know, if you can find a Christian, that would be the best, obviously, because your heart's the same. And you want to find out what they charge. And would they charge, would they give you a price break because it's a church going to do it, a bunch of people from your church? I got a guy in California who do living trust for $950. That's a deal. Anywhere I speak in California, he'll do the trust for those people in my seminars for $950. Complete. It's the best trust I've ever seen, but he can't do it outside the state of California. There are people like that that just want, that's their contribution to the Lord's work. And there are attorneys out there that love to do that, but you got to find them. And if you don't know where to look, call Cedarville. Call their development department. Say, do you know of a Christian attorney in the Cleveland area? You know. You got some pretty big Christian organizations up here. Call the Akron Chapel. They've dealt with this stuff. You can do a little homework and find a Christian attorney in this area that would, and get the price. Find out what their price is. Tell them, hey, I got 50 people who will do a trust with you. Come on. Give us a break. They'll do it. It's a good service. It's a great service. Yes?
Anything we should know about donor-advised funds?
You know, they've changed recently. I'm not up on that. But that's just a way to pass assets and bypass the living trust or the will. Yeah.
And so, if for something smaller than like a family foundation, it would be cost effective. But
yeah, you wouldn't want to do a family foundation unless you're of substance. An irrevocable trust, you don't do irrevocable trusts. The only time you do an irrevocable trust, because that's cast in concrete, that can never be changed. People say to me, I have a handicapped son, and he's going to require care the rest of his life. How do I fund? How do I take care of him? Buy a life insurance policy with your trust as beneficiary for his care. Great way to do it.
When you reach 59 and a half, what's the best thing to do with your 401k?
Nothing. The only 59 and a half rule is whether you pay the 10% excise tax to the government for taking it out if you're under 59 and a half. That's the only 59 and a half rule.
That's why you're taking out and moving.
Well, no, you can roll. You can roll once a year.
Just leave it alone?
Or you can roll it, as long as you don't take it out.
Yeah, you can roll it into another account, but not your joint account. Then you've redeemed it. If you got an IRA and it's managed by XYZ, you want it to ABC to manage it, you can roll that account into them. But you can only do that once a year.
So after 59 and a half, you're allowed to take, you're allowed to go in
there. A distribution without paying the 10% excise tax. Remember, if you take money out of your retirement and you're under 59 and a half, you have to pay 10% excise tax plus income tax, state and federal. Very expensive to take a pension out before you're 59 and a half. You're going to give the government a pile of money. You don't want to do that.
No. They can't handle it
though. Right.
If you have kids who are missionaries or who go on mission trips, do they have to come back to overseas? They're just in the problem to do that.
Would you do what now? And you're talking about a HIP agreement?
Yeah.
They get in a hospital overseas?
Yeah.
I can't answer that. I don't know that. I'm sorry. You know, when you talk about out of the country, it gets a little complex. That's where a good attorney comes into play. That's above my pay grade. Most of this stuff is. Yes?
How to avoid Social Security tax.
How to avoid Social Security tax. If you're paying tax on Social Security, that means you got a lot of non-tax Social Security that you're enjoying. The rule is, half of your earnings plus your Social Security, if it's under $34,000, you'll pay no tax on Social Security. If it's over that, you'll pay it at your tax bracket, probably 10% for a while, then to 15%. Very little tax. Very little tax. It comes under your tax return like other income. You can make contributions, but it's got to be over your... It's got to be over your standard deduction, which is going to be probably for you. You married?
Mm-hmm.
$15,100. So contributions, property taxes, all have to exceed $15,100 to get any more help. So you're probably not going to get any help there. You're probably paying little tax on your Social Security, not very much. That's not really an issue to be that concerned about.
I have a question, actually, about Social Security.
So you got to speak up now.
Oh,
okay.
My husband's been our primary provider. And he's 10 years older than I am. So if he were to pass away, if he's like 70 and I'm 60, and he passed away, what happens to his Social Security?
You would get it.
The whole amount?
At 60, you would get it.
Okay. The whole amount?
No, you'd get it. It would be prorated based on the fact that you're 60.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of widows think that if their husband died, they get Social Security immediately. Well, not so if they're under 60.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering, because we knew people whose spouse had passed away, and they didn't get any of the Social Security from their spouse. So I was just
asking. I want to clarify the treatment of corporate retirement plans into this discussion.
Okay, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I misspoke. You would get his Social Security regardless of what age.
Okay.
Until you're 60. Until you're 60.
And then at 60.
Then it would fall under your into your bracket.
So I would get mine and his?
No, you would get his. You wouldn't get both.
Just get his.
You get his.
That would be better.
If his was more than yours.
Oh, yes.
You'd get his. Right. And you'd lose yours.
That's okay, no law.
Yeah, Roth. If you've been in Roth for 5 years, you can take it out tax-free.
Yeah, so this is a straightforward...
Except for the earnings.
And also an actual pension, whatever that means, right? So it's two separate
Right.
One, how do they get treated in, at the beginning into? So you're saying the pension should not go into. They're both going to be taxed.
Right.
Because 401k is not right.
If she's taxable, yeah.
Fair. So how do we treat those two separately? You're saying the one that's turned pension stays outside of living trust, but the 401k should go into living trust?
At your death. At your death, your pension would roll into her IRA. And then she'd be taxed as she draws it out. Now, if you have a company-sponsored retirement plan, then it depends on what that plan says. So you'd have to know the plan. You work for a company that has an HR department?
Yes.
Sit down and ask them that question. What happens if I croak? What does my wife get? And when does she get it? Every plan is a little different. Yes.
I have a since Social Security was mentioned, I have a question about that. Is it critically important when you are of the age that you can collect Social Security, is it important that the name on your Social Security account matches all your other legal name documents?
No. No, as long as you can prove you are who you are.
Okay, because...
That's not true. My name is... Wait a minute. Hold it. My name is James W. Rickard. My Social Security is in Jim Rickard. No problem.
Okay. Good.
No problem. Okay. They had to verify who I was.
I had heard...
But once they did that, it's...
an issue. I heard, wait a
no. All my checks are made out to Jim Rickard. But my legal name is James W. Rickard. I don't know how that happened, but it did. All the checks that come to me, they go right to my checking account. It's under Jim Rickard, not James W. All they had to do was verify that James W. is Jim.
With me, I had to go change my name legally.
Huh.
When my parents came to this country, my last name was spelled differently.
Okay, so you're out of the country issue.
No, I was born here.
But your parents were not?
My parents were.
Why was it an out of the country issue?
It wasn't out, it was a name issue. My last name was Sigtich.
On the birth
certificate. On the birth certificate. But actually, legally, it's Sigtich.
Well, sure, then you'd have to verify that.
I had to.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, my last name was Rickard. Yeah, if my legal name is Rickard, but my other documents are Rickar, then I'd have to, I'd have to go through some hoops. Sure. That's a different issue. Yeah, okay. Sure. All right, thank you for coming. We're about done. Anybody else? Quick question?
Yeah. Education savings account.
Our office is not really in favor of 529s for a couple of reasons. It can affect other financial aid. When your kid has a 529 in his name and he applies for financial aid, that comes out dollar for dollar. When it's in your name, it goes to a formula. So you can be penalized on financial aid from 529s. We're not big 529 fans. And I noticed lately it's getting some pushback because people are realizing they're not doing what they thought they would do. So what I would do, if you've got a youngster, do you know what college you might go to?
Not yet.
Okay. I would call somebody like Cedarville or wherever. Call Ohio State won't know. Call Michigan. They'll know. We know how to lose. We're gracious losers. You'd want to call the financial aid office and ask them that question.
But on my death, what happens to that account? Should it be something that you put in that transfers by beneficiary?
Be beneficiary to the account.
And you put that in a living trust.
It's in there, yeah. You can do that. But we're not big 529 fans. We've seen too many downturns to it. And in the formula, you're taking it out. Anytime your son or daughter are going to college and they own assets, it comes out dollar for dollar. Where your assets come out on a formula. Whole different ballgame. So we're not big 529 fans. Doesn't mean we're right. That's just our position. Because we've seen too many glitches on tax returns with 529s.
It's the same with the ESA, the educational savings plan covered out?
I'm not familiar with that.
Different
benefit plan. Yeah. I don't know if it's... You mean by... that's managed by the institution?
No, yeah. Like, yeah, you can have it with a brokerage or something.
It's a federal version of the 529.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that one. I know of it, but I'm not up to date on it. It's hard to keep up with all this stuff. My bedtime reading is Master Tax Guide. You can't sleep? Get a copy. You get through the first two paragraphs, you'll sleep like a baby. If you understand what it says, you'll wake up every 2 hours and cry. Anybody else? Well, thank you. I've enjoyed the weekend. You've been a delightful group. Now, all this stuff we talked about is on that second CD in this session. So you're, they're welcome.